Hey, Project Zion listeners, this is Blake Smith, Project Manager for Project Zion Podcasts, and I'm excited to share this cross post from Ministry for Dummies. Enjoy.
Welcome to Ministry for Dummies, a Community of Christ podcast hosted by the Community of Christ Southern USA Mission Field. All are welcomed here, and the stories and opinions that are shared here are a part of our story and do not necessarily reflect the official position of the Community of Christ. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Woo! Episode 4!
Episode 4. So far, we haven't been canceled.
No canceling yet.
And you know what? We're just going to take it.
Especially with the varying qualities of our audio each episode to episode. But here's the deal. That's our hook. You never know what you're going to get.
It's been a real, I mean, the first one was tough because you didn't have a mic yet. And then the second one was good because mic situation was fixed. And then the third one, my computer ran out of storage space. So we had to use the backup Zoom recording. So if you if you listened to our third episode and are still here, that is why.
Props.
We had to use the backup Zoom recording, and I tried to edit, but Berto was so much louder than me because the Zoom audio is not balanced the same way because I have like a fancy mixing board. Sneak peek there behind the scenes, but
fancy,
I know,
fancy.
Yeah.
It also didn't help that I think I had 30 Boy Scouts at the church, like all, you know, and they were doing what they needed to do, and I was just like, I'm drunk. So I'm going to yell into the microphone, and hopefully Jacob's audio software will balance us out. Rip Jacob's hard drive, though.
Yeah, rip my hard drive. I do. You know what I should do? I should just get a new hard drive and get a bigger like SSD or something, and put it in this computer.
Ooh, that might but be then Dave. I'll... Dave Nee, are you listening? Come on, man. help us out.
Helping brother out. I have a backup external storage drive. This is like so off the rails, but I have a backup external storage drive, and I went to back up to it the other day, and the formatting is like off. So something's wrong with the drive itself. So I think I'm going to have to get a new one, backup everything onto that, and then maybe I'll delete a bunch of stuff. I have like all sorts of crap on here. So
see, and that's the thing. Just trying to keep a computer clean sometimes is hard.
And I have a hard time keeping anything clean. Like, real talk.
That is facts.
That's
that
just a
facts
straight up
facts.
Fact.
Jacob and I used to be roommates, so I can confirm. Allie, his partner and fiance, is a saint. And Emily, my partner, is also a saint, putting up with my messiness because I'm not, I'm okay.
I don't really believe in the natural order of things unless that natural order is chaos.
Exactly. I will say last night, like, I think it was just because I was so tired. I could not find my keys and it felt like a good 20
That's
minutes.
Never a good feeling.
No, and you know where they were, and it's always the worst part. Like I'll fidget or I'll do something. I literally put them in the desk drawer that I'm at, and it's just one of those things of where it's not a normal place that it's there.
But it makes sense,
you know.
Yeah, at
exactly.
the time. Yep, I do that all the time.
So and of course I love Emily to death, but the most unhelpful comment you made was maybe we should get you an Apple AirTag for your keys. I'm like, that's a great idea. I do not want to hear that right now. I just want to find my dang keys because it's late and we need to go get food.
Yeah, you're not good at keeping track of your keys. I can vouch for that.
I'm not. But
anyways,
what's going on?
All right, so our topic this week is one that's near and dear to both our hearts, and that's music in the church and kind of how it intertwines with like our faith. In our personal expression of that, so I'll toss it to you, Bert. Super general here, and you take it where you want. When you think of spiritual music, what comes to mind?
So there's a lot of different venues that we could talk about, and I know we're going to cover a lot of them. So I'm just going to start real basic. Music that goes with meditation for me is really, really helpful. You know, I don't like meditating in complete quiet. I like to have some music around me. And what I find the most relaxing is the cello. I love the sound of the cello. You know, really kind of puts me in a good mood.
I find with that.
And yeah, I absolutely love it. But when I think of like spiritual music, especially, I think of just music that I can just think to, if that makes sense.
No, you know, it totally
does. Not music with a lot of lyrics. That kind of fits in a different category, but spiritual music specifically, just that very, very, you know, relaxing, puts me in a good vibe, mindset.
So are you like, I mean, this is somewhat related, maybe somebody will find this. Are you like a classical music guy, or are you more like pop covers in an acoustic format? Like some people, or are you just like straight nature noises with like a gentle melody? Where do you fall on the spectrum of meditation music?
That is hilarious. So it really does depend on the day. If it's a really, really chaotic day, I like classical music. It's something that really kind of calms the nerves, calms down. Normal days, though, I love acoustic covers. Like you said, you know, those are kind of my favorite things to kind of just, you know, prepare myself to. A lot of times before a worship service, if I'm in charge, that's what the prelude will be. You know, but also when it just comes to working, you know, if I'm trying to write on something or study something, jazz is something that I really
enjoy. There we go.
Yeah.
A little bit off the board right there.
Exactly. Exactly. See, I love a wide spectrum of music. There really isn't a lot of music that I don't like, which is really kind of fun for people who walk into the church at Wandebo, because you can hear anything from Bob Marley to George Harrison to Post Malone to, you know, it really is kind of a wide genre. But, you know, kind of picking it back off to you, when you think of spiritual music, what is something that comes to your mind?
Well, when I think of spiritual music, I'm a lot like you. Classical music really does calm my nerves. But I'm also a big a cappella guy for when I'm trying to think and meditate. Usually like spiritual music or hymns, a cappella covers of hymns. Because I associate so closely with hymns in general, I find that really calms me. You know, I'm not a huge, like, music when I meditate kind of person. I actually prefer quiet. But definitely when I'm, like, stressed or something's going on at work that's stressing me out, right, I'll listen to classical music to just kind of soothe the soul, so to speak.
Definitely. No, I get that. Awesome.
All right, next question I have here for you. When we talk about Community of Christ, for us, our hymnal is Community of Christ Sings. Just came out a few years ago, well, probably like 10 years ago now.
I would say it's 2013, I think, is when it came out.
So it is 10 years. So
yeah.
What are some hymns that you love now that can include like non-denominational hymns or hymns that are specific? Just when we talk about church, a lot of people associate, well, the music of church is a hymn, right? So when it comes to that, what are hymns that just really, they speak to you?
Okay, here's Umberto's hot button thing. There's only one correct answer, in my humble opinion. Singing Spirit of God Like a Fire is Burning at World Conference is the best hymn experience you'll ever have in your entire life. And that is Umberto's hill that he will die on. There is nothing to me that is more sacred, that is more inspiring than having that community gathered every 4 years, that international body, you know, after all the business meetings, all the debates, everything like that, singing that hymn together and hearing it in different languages, hearing it, you know,
on the organ.
Exactly. Yeah. On the auditorium organ, like that is a song that's a little bit higher in my range. And I learned it when I was a tenor one and I'm now a baritone for those who are choral folks. So that's a huge leap.
That's a big of a,
but I still sing that difference song, high tenor. And yes, my throat is telling me, hey, you need to drop it low. You need to not be that loud. Don't care. I'm busting out
push,
that hymn.
Push through.
I'm busting it. Like that to me. I love that. Now, okay, actual answer. You know, a little bit more Community of Christ focused still. An old path for me is just so beautiful, puts me right in that kind of worship mindset. And especially one thing that I love to do, Jake and I, we shared on this podcast before that we're both Graceland University alumni. They have bike trails in Lamoni, and going and walking through a tree canopy, listening to that song, knowing that that hymn was actually written in Lamoni, oh, that is such a special experience. And then finally, because I'm going to give you three, A hymn that I absolutely love, you know, a little bit more international, is Santo, Santo, Santo. It was one of the first hymns that I've ever heard, you know, an American, United States Community of Christ Church sing in Spanish. My mom always yells that they butcher the song.
Yeah.
But it's still cool that, you know, a little bit more of that international flair. It's a song and a hymn that, you know, I associate with my family. So anytime that I hear it, you know, in a congregational setting, it brings some warm, fuzzy feelings, and that's something that I really like. But I know I stole a lot of the good ones and the big ones, but
well, actually, you didn't take either of my top two.
Oh, really? Okay, no, I want to hear it now. What are your top?
So, I don't know if we've really talked about this on the podcast at all, but I play the piano at every congregation I've ever been at. But I play it a lot more now at my home congregation in Houston. I play it every other week, so I've cycled through probably 300 of the hymns, if I had to guess, probably. And the ones that I play all the time when I'm looking for offertory stuff and have become my favorite is Finlandia, which that's the actual tune, but it's, what's the non-denominational, Finlandia song?
We're doing our research. We have our research department for Ministry for
Dummies. Yeah, really. It's we rest on thee and in thy name we go, but it's like the this is my home, right? So
oh
this
yeah,
is my song,
yeah, yeah,
there
yeah.
We go,
yeah, that's
the
good
tune
one. That's
yeah
a good
so
one.
I love that song. I love the harmonies, and I love the chord progression through the build up into the chorus. I will never not love that song. I love the lyrics that we have to it. I love the tune. I love everything about that hymn. Really feeds me. Another one that I know, Umberto, this will speak to you, is Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Love that.
You'll
love
know
that
if anybody here has played hymns or plays the piano, can look at the sheet music, you'll understand why these are my favorite and why, like, playing the hymns all the time at church, this is what speaks to me and why I've kind of fallen in this pattern. But that's definitely number two for me. That's another non-denominational one. And then my third one is more of a lyrics based one, which is For Everyone Born, because I really have that's a newer one to the Community of Christ, and I'm pretty sure it's Community of Christ exclusive, for lack of a better term. But that's a newer, and the lyrics just they really hit home for me. So I love that. I love that hymn.
Yeah. I especially love the added verse that the Canadian Beyond the Walls congregation kind of introduced to the church during COVID. That is a more LGBTQ plus queer community outreach, which is really awesome. You know, I think one of them is a Chalice of Grace, which I love that inclusion. So really, really awesome stuff. Yeah, no, all great ones.
Yeah.
I another one that I love is Be Thou My Vision. Oh my
that's
gosh.
As a
baritone, you can rock that hymn like nobody's business. Have a really good resonant tone. And again, we've kind of hinted at it. Jacob is a lot more musical than I am. You know, I was in the Graceland choir. I think the only reason that Jacob wasn't was because of time.
And my own personal elitism, but yeah.
Oh my gosh, he's such an elitist. Yes, he is. You know, Jacob is very, very talented, can play the piano so well. And I've done choir. This is something that I knew that Jacob and I, you know, we'd love music. You know, we love music, and especially church hymns, you know, because that is something we both grew up around. So that was kind of the reason for this topic.
I don't know if
Be Thou My Vision is fantastic.
I don't think this is a question that we set aside, but maybe it's one that I'll pitch to you now. Like, how much does music play into your faith, right? In terms of how you worship? Like, for me personally, it's a really big part of how I worship. Two main reasons. One, it's an act of service for me to play the piano, and I'm an act of service person. If you believe in the love language, even though it's all pseudoscience and crap, yeah, there is still validity in terms of how I feel about that, right? So it's an act of service to me to play the piano, and therefore it's a big part of how I feel I'm giving back to the community, right? So that's big for me. And two, like, as I'm trying to express emotions and sentiments, music it seems like a natural venue for me. So that's, it just really, that's why music is so important to me and how I've come along my faith journey. It's what kept me involved in church. It's my affinity for music. So it's just, I hope I didn't close off your answer, Bert, but as far as how does music play into your faith and your faith journey?
You didn't close it off, but I will repeat many of the same things that Jacob just shared. Huge for me. You know, I keep saying, you know, one of our junior hires said that to me, and now I cannot stop thinking about every time I say that. So I apologize to our listener. It's one of my fillers, but sorry, random tangent aside. Music to me speaks to the soul. And when I was in choir, especially, I loved that community experience you get from singing together. And I think you definitely get that at the congregational level. And we've already kind of talked about the world church level, but it's just a group of people making music and making a joyful noise. And don't get me wrong, sometimes the noise is a little bit more noisy than joyful, depending on who might be in your congregation.
That's a fact.
You know, I still love that though. Even a congregation that doesn't have the greatest singers, still, you know, when you get a group of people together singing, it is a fantastic time. You know, we at church last Sunday, we had about, you know, middle 30s there. So like 33, 35 at worship. And it was just great. I can't remember the hymn that we sang, but it was just so fantastic. It was one of those times where you just kind of drop out and you just listen to those voices.
Yeah, and appreciate where you are.
Exactly. And yeah. I think that is what music gives us, is that chance to be truly present.
And to be in a community, right? I think maybe that's another thing I should add, right? You're in a community with one another, participating with one another. So that's another important thing for me. Yeah.
Most definitely. Yeah. No, I love it. I love it. I love it so much.
So we've touched on hymns and how that affects our... Are there any like non-church hymns that meet your needs in a similar way?
Yes. So, you know, when my grandpa died, my grandpa Tinsman, you know, the song that... for some reason, continued to pop into my heart and soul was there are three wooden crosses on the side of the highway. I think that's the title of the song. It's an old country song, a really, really beautiful melody. And, you know, it's one of those songs that really fed the soul, a song that probably more people would know from George Harrison. Oh my gosh, I was a little listening to it today and I forgot it. My Sweet Lord, not My Sweet Lord. What is it called? Jacob, help me out.
I don't know. You're talking to the wrong person.
Oh, where is Emily? Emily is going to be glaring at me. George Harrison is her favorite Beatle, which is, you know, not the correct answer. Everyone's favorite Beatle is Ringo. My Sweet Lord. My Sweet Lord. Yes, My Sweet Lord by George Harrison. I love George Harrison as well. He's a fantastic musician. Another one that really kind of touches my soul is the entire Exodus album from Bob Marley. That one is often played on repeat. If you get anything from this podcast, listen to Bob Marley's Exodus album, Bob Marley and the Wailers, on a Sunday morning. I'm telling you, that song will get you going. It'll make you ask some questions. I love Bob Marley. He's one of my favorite artists.
Man, this is weird that I don't really have one that like meets it that hits the same as a hymn for me. And I don't know why I love listening to music, but I don't experience it in the same way that I experience hymns in a worship setting. But, I have a playlist of songs that I'll put on, that are all non-church songs that just calm me down. I really don't have any favorites.
No Elton, no Billy Joel. Come on.
I mean, Summer Highland Falls is a good Billy Joel song. That I listen to a lot. I love Billy Joel, for anybody listening, because I'm a piano player who likes to sing. And that's just, we have a similar voice range. So that's definitely a good one. And I have a playlist from when we did Afterglow that summer, Burr. I listen to that playlist every once in a while. And, you know, songs
that's
like Rivers and Roads, Fly Away. Right? I mean, there's a lot of good ones on there. Roll Away Your Stone by Mumford & Sons, right? It's a lot of good songs that it's not really the songs themselves. This is what I've come to realize. It's not really the songs themselves for me. It's the memories I have associated with the songs that bring just me generally calm and peace. So
yes. So I'm gonna be real, gonna be vulnerable with our podcast. You know, Jigman and I, we're 3 years out of college, you know. And you know, we're starting to, at least I am, starting to reminisce, think about, you know, good old college days. But that song, River and Roads, anytime I think of Lamoni, I play that song. Because Afterglow was the contemporary worship services at Graceland, and you know, Christina, I just blanked on her last name. What was her last name? Christina, was it what?
Christina Cook.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. I don't know why. Sorry, Christina. Oh, now I feel really bad. But she would sing and play that song so well. It always kind of got me in that right spirit. So I especially think of sunsets in Lamoni when I hear that song, and just, oh, it's just so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, another song she sung really well was, Oceans? This is why I'm not good at this podcast.
Are you sure it wasn't Oceans? Remember. That's the song I associate with Christina. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's a good that's one, a really too. Good one. I used it at worship a couple weeks ago. And, yeah. Wonderful song.
Yeah. I mean, she's super talented, so.
She is. And she does things at Spec now, which has been really cool to see. You know, another young adult in the church. Shout out to her. I didn't know we were talking about her, but hey, shout out, Christina. Hope you're doing well. You know, but her gifts and talent. I guess it was a year ago. Yeah, her, Daniel Harmon, so talented musicians. Mm-hmm. It's very envious. I have tried again and again to play the guitar and to play the piano. And, you know, I can play bass a little bit, not as good as some of my other friends. But yeah, just, I'm always so impressed with people who, like Jacob, who can play just so well. And, you know, we have 600, I think we have 664 hymns, and I know Jacob can probably play almost all of them, at the drop of a hat, which is just so impressive to me.
Well, anybody can do that if you can read sheet music.
This is true. And I can read sheet music in the choral sense. Yeah, you know, I can sing and follow along, but you know, playing the piano, you know, I know how to play one hymn, and it's Santo, and it like took me like 3 weeks to learn. It was so difficult. I was like, "Oh my gosh, you can't do it." But yeah, awesome, very cool. So okay, kind of, you know, going down, you know. So let me ask this, because we've talked about, you know, Jacob, you performing at church before, and yes, he did do choir before. He was too good for Graceland Choir. Whatever. I'm rolling my eyes. Insert roll eye sound effect. But man, you know, have you ever had a spiritual experience while playing or performing? Let me ask that.
Have I ever had a spiritual experience? I mean, not like a profound vision or anything like that, but I've had moments where I've been like really touched and almost feel like out of body experience.
Yeah.
I never met, this is, I promise, relevant. I never met my grandpa on my dad's side, right? My dad's dad passed away before I was born. But his favorite, what I have heard is his favorite Christmas hymn was, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And so I played that at a Christmas service a couple of years ago, maybe it was last year, played that before Christmas. And I just felt like I wasn't alone. And maybe that's because I also associate it with my dad, right? Because my dad loves it because his dad loved it too. And so I just had that feeling where I just didn't feel like it was just me. And so I think that's definitely like one of the ones that I can think of most recently. Playing at reunions when I was a kid, I had some really positive spiritual experiences, because that's a loving and community that I had growing up. Played hymns there, and I can think of times just like that, where it just felt surreal where I was at.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that surreal experience, that surreal feeling, I think that's why I love music so much, because you can just get lost in it, and it's beautiful when that happens, when you kind of hit that flow. I think the movie Soul talked about that. You know, you get into that rhythm, you get into that flow, and it's so true. And when they described it, I was like, yes, that's exactly what it is. You know, for me, the last time that I performed with the Graceland Choir was a really special concert for me. And I didn't even realize it was special when I did it, because it was, I believe it was a Christmas concert at Graceland.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I had and I wasn't going to do choir anymore after that, because I was student teaching. But you know, the choir director, you know, said, oh, you can, you know, we're doing a lot of the same music. You'll be able to, you know, squeeze in, and I know you know how to sight read. You'll be okay. But you know, because of COVID, no, that didn't happen. So yeah, that was kind of my last real concert that I was a part of, and I couldn't ask for a better one. I have a very particular opinion of Christmas music. We're going to get to that in a little bit later. But you know, that communal experience is something that just cannot be beat for me. You know, and I already talked about World Conference, being able to sing that, a fun moment that happened at this past World Conference that was definitely a spiritual experience was we sung the campfire song,
like the SpongeBob
and the green grass. Huh?
The SpongeBob campfire song?
No, that's a heathenistic song. We do not. No. That's a whole.
Talk about a secular song that feeds your soul.
No. Stop that. It was the green grass girl around and around.
Yes, that's definitely
that at World Conference.
That's definitely that better.
Amazing. That was so funny to do that and to like hear all the different versions, because mm-hmm. there's many different versions to every campfire song. You know, which is always fun for me. But yeah, those are experiences that I fondly look back at, that music is definitely at that heart and that joy that comes from singing, most definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, you want to get to it now. This is the official hater segment brought to you by
haters,
the Southwestern Community of Christ. Bert, I'm going to put on Yakety Sax. You won't be able to hear it, but I promise it's there. You'll be able to hear it whenever we play it. All right, Bert. Welcome to the Community of Christ, definitely not obeying the Ten Commandments hater section. Which songs do you hate, Bert? Let's get to it.
All right.
Here's the tea.
All right. Here's the tea, because I added this at the very end, and I have a very particular opinion about a couple of songs. Number one, as a choir kid, Christmas music is either you love it and you're just so excited to sing it again, or oh my gosh, if I have to sing that song one more time, I'm gonna lose it, because it's the same song and it's the same parts that you get stuck on. And you know, for Graceland, you know, I love Professor Blessing, Dr. Blessing, I love you. If you're listening to this, you are my favorite choir director. That's not a dig at anyone else who I was under, but you are my favorite. I hated singing Silent Night every single year, because we always had to do it in German, because that's the original, you know, language. And hearing people just like not practice drives me crazy. But like, that's a song you can't hide under, because we don't do it with music, and you know, you can't muddle your way through German. German is a hard language, and it just, the amount of hours that I've just spent going through that dang piece of music, I hate that song now. It used to be my favorite Christmas song, it really did, but that experience alone moved it to the hate category.
Yeah, it sounds like your issue isn't the song, it's really the people you had to sing the song with, which I guess, you know, touches on the profound impact of music and community.
Oh, it really is. And you know, I know my supervisor Stacey, who is a band director, I am sure that she, if she was on here, she could talk about Christmas songs and holiday music that you just, you know, it's just always the same part, it's always the same people, and you're just like, we've sung this 5-4 times, just get it, it's not that hard, you know. But the fun part was, you know, my mom, who speaks Spanish, that's her first language, always was very big on pronunciation. It, you know, my senior year, when I was HP, we had someone from Germany on our hall. So I came to him and asked, like, hey, is this pronunciation correct? And he's like, that's the worst German I've ever heard in my entire life. And I was like, yeah, it sounds about right. All right, cool. Way to move on. But yeah. So those songs in particular, I have kind of grudges against. Now, when it comes to hymns, and I got to tread lightly, I got to be careful, because everyone has hymns that they love. And they really mean, and I truly do believe there is no bad hymns.
I disagree with that, but
I'm getting ready for Jacob's part. Just wait for his part. The song that I dislike, because I know how difficult it is to play, is Rain Down. I love Rain Down.
I love that song.
That's the difference. But the reason that I dislike it is because I love my sister, Erin Grover. Shout out to you. I love you. Hope you're doing well. But when she was learning to play the piano, she struggled with that hymn. And so now, anytime I hear it, I just hear my sister messing it up again and again and again and again. And then at one point, like, Erin messed it up like for like the 80th time. And me and my mom turned around simultaneously and said, "So, anyways, long tangent aside, that song has a warm spot, but definitely kind of a, oh my gosh,
brings me back to
that time and place." Yeah. So, Jacob, the actual musician on this call, what are some songs that you personally might dislike but others might love?
Man, number one for me is "Draw the Circle Wide."
I knew you were gonna say it. Oh,
I hate that.
Oh, you've broken my Hoffman's heart.
It is terrible to play. People do not know how to sing it. People don't know the words. It's got like 5 or 6 verses. The chorus is long. It is a terrible hymn. Terrible. The words are nice. The meaning behind it is nice. If you like it as a poem, congratulations. If you like playing it, you're a psychopath. The songs, nobody can sing it. It's hard to play because you have to play it slow so people can keep up. And then you just end up dragging through the whole piece. Terrible hymn, not meant to be sung with people who are just, for the first time, learning the hymn. It's just, it's not built for it.
Well, you see, for "Draw the Circle Wide," that I was nervous that was going to happen to "For Everyone Born," because they both have kind of that awkward pause at the end. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, we've been able to push ourselves through "For Everyone Born." But I will admit, if it's a congregation's first time drawing the circle wide, they will struggle.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's just got such a tough learning curve, and we haven't gone through it. And none of the congregations, I've been in 4 congregations since the hymnal was released, 0-4. Yeah. Straight up 0-4. And it's not like I only played it once in each of those. I played it multiple times. People don't pick it up.
And again, yeah. I'll legitimize what Jacob said. It's a hard hymn. Like, it's a hard hymn to play. It's a hard hymn to sing. The music or the message behind it is beautiful.
Which is why it's in the hymnal.
Yes, when it is played correctly, it is a beautiful hymn. But no, it is very difficult. The learning curve is hard.
I'm trying to think of other hymns. I like Christmas music. I like most of it. Some are better than others, but I don't really have the same beef you do, because I didn't have that like negative experience associated with a song like that. I don't really have any in particular. I mean, there are some in our hymnal that are clearly in the hymnal because of the lyrics and not because of the music. And then you just kind of end up with like a really basic melody, and it's just not fun to play. So I think that's just a personal preference. Like, when there's not good harmonies, or like it's boring. You're like, this really is pretty basic and irrelevant. But yeah, I think that's what sticks out to me.
Yeah. Right. No.
I turned off our yakety sax music.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know that was still playing. Sorry.
I have a really long loop.
Exactly. Oh gosh. All right. So we made everyone angry by what we said. Now we really pushed them over the edge of having that play in the background.
That's right. Great. I mean, it's a circus, right? If you're hating, it's a circus.
Exactly.
Music's appropriate.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, as we're kind of transitioning, is there any kind of last things we want to say about maybe the importance of music? In a church, in a faith community, or you know, anything that kind of, you know, comes to mind?
Absolutely. I mean, if I had a penny for every time that I was in a congregation where the topic of modernizing music was brought up as a way to attract new members, I'd be loaded. Man, I'd be loaded. Because there's a skew there in terms of what people prefer, whether that's, you know, modern Christian music or secular music or hymns, right? I mean, I'm a hymns person. It's just how I grew up. It's how I was. It's what I associate in that environment, right? It's just a personal preference. And I think it is really important just moving forward as a I mean, just speaking for my congregation alone, you know, it's important for us to decide what the right balance is. And if we think that, you know, modernizing our approach will bring in a different crowd, or will we just be playing the new music for the same people? Will it really make a difference? I think that's, it's a huge, and maybe I should have put this question at the beginning, like how we approach that. And because I know people our age, they leave the church to go to other places with a different musical approach because of the music. I think it's huge. It is a really, really important facet of worship for everybody, even if they don't realize it. So that's kind of where I sit.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I want to talk about that because that goes into an interesting thought process. You know, for me, I was so against the modernization of music. And for one reason was because a lot of the churches that I had negative experiences with were those churches that had the big bands and the light shows and things like that. And so I kind of shunted almost all contemporary Christian music into the, it's for the money. It's a quote unquote bad stuff. Like,
I mean,
a lot of it
is, but yes,
you know what I mean? Yeah. And it really wasn't until this past summer, shout out to Jacob Romig for kind of opening my eyes of like, actually there's some pretty good stuff that's there. Yeah. You kind of need a filter.
Yeah. I mean, with anything, right?
You know, with anything, but you know, if you can get, and I think that's kind of the key of maybe pastoral ministry, is you kind of have to do things for every type of spirituality type, and recognizing that there's going to be people who are going to absolutely hate it, who are going to say, nope, that's part of that badness, or that's, you know, that's that newfangled blah, 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 blah. But there's also going to be people that are like, actually, that really gets me going, that pumps me up, and then I can worship effectively. So I think it's just like you said, it's knowing that balance. You know, we didn't talk about this at all. It is on our little sheet. But you know, campfire music is a huge, huge spirituality part that we haven't really talked about. You know, leading campfires are amazing. They're very, very stressful if you've ever led a campfire, because you know, you're trying to remember all the music. There's not great sheet music.
That's
that you
true.
Can
you do
off
have
of.
To. You have to have
yeah,
it.
And depending on where you are, the songs have changed.
Yeah.
Or depending who's leading it, they've known a different version. So that's always kind of tricky.
Yeah.
But you know, for people who are in this church, campfire is one of those key pivotal moments that have planted seeds in their discipleship. And I think it talks a lot about, you know, all the things we've covered. You know, it's a communal experience, definitely. It's an experience in nature. You have fun songs that pump you up, but you also have some beautiful transition and serious songs that really lay into the spirit. Move people immensely into emotions and feelings.
Experiences in that type of setting.
Definitely. Almost definitely. Yeah. Campfire music. And I know people are very opinionated about their campfire songs. There's a reason we didn't talk about our least favorite campfire songs. Fun fact, mine's Red Wagon. I hate that song. No. My actual least favorite campfire song, I know I just made everyone mad with Red Wagon, is I Am a CH. I am a CHRISTIEN, because I cannot spell live eternally. I can't do it. That's my dyslexia coming involved, and I can't sing that song. I can't do it. So
I can do that favorite one, but yes, yeah. No, that one's a tongue twister and a steep learning curve.
Yeah, it definitely. But yeah, no, I'm sorry we went on that tangent, but I think that's an important part that we cover. Yeah, of, you know. Yeah, that there's that balance of music, and it's funny. Music is all about harmony and about balance, so it would make sense that you need balance in every aspect of music.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll touch on that again.
Oh, most definitely. And I know this will not be our only time that we talk about music on this podcast, but we want to talk about it just because it's definitely something big in our lives and our souls. As we kind of transition towards the end of our time together, I know it is always way too short.
We're gonna talk about depending on your tolerance for podcasts, but
and depending on how poor our audio quality is.
Oh, so true.
It always depends.
Yeah.
We do have some questions. We don't have any new questions from our form. So, dear listeners, please go to ministryfordummies.org. Yes, it's .org. We're that official here. And fill out our question form because we want to answer your questions. But I do have a question from the high priest, Theodore Landon Tinsman. That's my daddy. Hope he's listening. His question is, when will we have guests onto the podcast?
Soon as people stop shunning us for...
Exactly. No. You know, we might be having a potential affiliation / partnership / hey, they need things to advertise with Campus Connections. It's a new platform for the Community of Christ ministry, specifically looking at college-age students. So we might have an advisor that Jacob and I both are very fond of, Mike Hoffman, on. We have not asked him at all. This is us asking him. Mike Hoffman, get on the podcast. Mike,
let us know.
Yeah, come on, man. You know, we thought you loved us. Come on, get on. Another person that we haven't talked to, but I definitely think would be cool to have is Larry McGuire. He's the president of 74 our area. Larry is just fantastic. We love Larry to death. So yeah, if you have any suggestions though of potential guests or people you want to hear, let us know.
Yeah, hit us up.
We'll try to chase him down. You know, hey, who knows? We can even get Scott Murphy on. Probably doubt it. He's also a musician. Fun fact, one of the best drummers I've ever seen. So shout out to Scott.
I mean, I'll take your word for it.
I know.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Umberto, as well, for joining us on this journey. This podcast is made possible by listeners and disciples of Christ and by members of the Community of Christ. Without you, dear listener, we would not be here. And really, if you have any questions, ideas, suggestions about the podcast, like, let us know. Please let us know. We're always looking for more stuff, more questions, and what you want us to discuss. We'll see you on the journey.
You've been listening to an episode from Ministry for Dummies here on Project Zion Podcasts, featuring hosts Umberto Tinsman and Jacob Ross. Our thanks to Umberto and Jacob for allowing us to share this episode with you, our faithful listeners. For more episodes of Ministry for Dummies, go to ministryfordummies.org. Have a great rest of your day.